C1R. Number 16A.
We come to the next question and answer. The question is, you speak of belief. Who or what is it that believes? If we consider the answer that she gives, then we can see that she presents here now signs as the Christ. Why is it signs as the Christ? She will speak about understanding, that this understanding has a Christ. What does a Christ do to a Christ do when it is understanding? It frees from the opposite of understanding. It frees from belief. Do you get the category? The category of science is understanding. The Christ of it is that it frees us from believing. So, you speak of belief. Who or what is that believes? Now, in an earlier chapter, you know, we have that very clear statement of Mrs. Eddy where she says that until belief becomes faith and faith becomes understanding, human thought has little relation to the actual or divine. So she has those 3 degrees of belief, faith, understanding. And somehow here she depicts that too, that there is such a translation out of belief into faith and into understanding. The marginal heading already shows understanding versus belief, and therefore already indicates what is to be shown here, that belief must yield to understanding. But how does she really evolve the subject? We are not going to read it. We just take the epitomes that you have on the page 5 of the illustrative material. And we just discuss it as it comes along. First, she goes out from the very point that she defines, so to say, through the first 4 subtones, the nature of belief. Then in the 4th subtone, in the middle, she changes from belief to faith and understanding and leads on through the last 3 subtones, the way of understanding. So that we can see here the disappearance of belief through the first 3-4 subtones and the appearance of understanding through the last 3 subtones. The very first thing from the point of view of mind is that she says that there is no need of believing because spirit is all-knowing. So this precludes really the need of believing. So from the absolute standpoint of the all-knowing God, there is no need for believing. So that's the very first point we have to consider, that whatever we believe, actually there is no need to believe. What then do we see from the standpoint of spirit? That she says that even matter cannot believe, or also matter cannot believe. So we had already 2 statements from the point of view of mind. There is no need of believing. Then matter cannot believe because mind understands all. She goes right to soul and says, and the body cannot believe either. So we have here again that trinity that we always find mind, mortal mind, matter, body, as the basis of the nature of anything, either as the true or the wrong nature. Here she depicts really that there is no need for believing, so there is no need for a mind that believes. Matter cannot believe, body cannot believe. What on earth then does believe? And so she comes to principle and says, the believer is it that believes. So the believer and the belief are one, do we have here in principle. And they are without principle. So can you see the tone of principle in the negative way and in the positive way? Namely, that the believer and the belief are one and mortal. How often have you read that? How often have we read that? And how very seldom have we believed it, that the belief and the believer is one. We always felt that the belief had nothing to do with us, that that was something that happened, and we have never seen that we are the principle of believing, so to say, the origin of believing, that we are the creator of believing, and therefore the belief and the believer is one. So at that point, she says, therefore you can see it comes out of your own personality, which is the counterfeit of principle. And so the salvation lies in turning that point around and say, why should you as a personality be a believer that believes? Why shouldn't you turn it around and go out from God? Because mere belief, she says, is without principle, but that we must explain things, everything, from principle. And at that point, naturally, when we turn from personal sense to principle and make that turn, then we have overcome believing and we begin to understand. We start out from the interpretation of principle, that principle alone knows what is going on, and therefore we go out from that, and that triggers off life, truth and love, as the understanding of life, truth and love. So if we go out from principle, we arrive at life. Here we have the epitome, that an understanding brings a fuller sense of life. See, that's true. The moment we make that switch from believing to interpreting from principle, and discuss everything from principle and don't discuss things anymore from the belief and from the believer, but say, now look here, what does principle say to the whole situation? Then we begin to really to understand the situation, and that understanding always from principle brings always a fuller sense of life, because it can only bring forth ideas, but never beliefs. Can only bring forth really that which is in reality. And so we begin to fill up our consciousness with that which is reality, which constitutes reality, which constitutes being, which constitutes isness. And we build up an isness sense of our universe, and therefore we have a fuller sense of life. So showing our faith by our work, the understanding of life lengthens our days. Can you hear the tone of life? Lengthens our days, strengthens our trust in the deathless reality of life and its immortality. I think that tone is very clear, that it is life. Again, from the point of view of the critics, I think we can show them so easily, you see, that actually here is another turn in the, or break in the tonality from principle right to the tone of life. So we can see that only understanding is actually life. This is really life, that we understand God and His Christ, the Bible already said. This is a great point in the chapter on practice. We have also seen there that actually understanding is life and gives us the fullness of life. Because what? Why is it? Because understanding only understands that which is. Only the identities of being. Understanding can never, from the point of view of principle, understand anything else but the facts of being. So we have naturally more life when we go out from principle. Then the text goes to truth, and again the subject changes. We have here truth, that understanding heals. And so Mrs. Edish shows that a faith relying upon an understood principle would do what? Would makes whole the diseased. Can you see now? It makes whole the diseased, that truth. Banishes severe maladies, healing, truth. And we receive the blessings of truth. I mean, as you go on after a while, you cannot mistake anymore that Mrs. Eddy always builds up a subject according to the seven synonymous terms and really shows the sequence of it. You see, why doesn't truth come before life? Why doesn't, say, the whole subject of truth that she brings here about making whole the disease? Why isn't that right off the principle? Their principle said if you interpret and explain everything from the point of view of principle, why don't you get right off the words, really, the healing truth? Because you have no life with which to heal. You have no substance with which to heal. You first must build up in consciousness the reality of being before you can heal. Because healing means that we exchange that which seems to die, which has a decaying tendency, that we turn that around into a constructive tendency. So first we must have the fullness of life, and out of the fullness of life, really, we can give to that situation which seems to be lacking life, disease situation, we can give life, and that expresses itself as the fullness of life in healing. Can you see the logic of it? You don't look at me as if you would have understood it, but you may have understood it. So that finally she comes to the last tone, where she says that even the scriptures enforce the necessity of understanding, that is believing. She touches here on that term believing, how the scripture uses it, and says, look here, when the scripture really speak of thou shalt believe and uses the term believing, actually it means something else. It actually means faith, it means understanding, it means trust, it means constancy, it means firmness. So when the scripture use believing, they use it differently than when today, in our age, people speak about believing. It is much deeper in the Bible, firmer, with greater constancy and trust. But the scripture demand that we should believe, or that we should really understand. So that's how she ends that rather short subject. Starting out, there is no need for believing. Ending, that we should get understanding with all our heart. Meaning what? That in place of believing, understanding should be cultured. That's the exchanging of belief for understanding, yes. So that you have here a sense that if you go along those mind, spirit, soul to the point of principle, that the belief is discarded as having no foundation, and at the point of principle we begin to see that only principle has foundation, but what principle gives to us is an understanding of life, an understanding of truth that heals and shows the necessity of getting more and more understanding. That's the Christ. So the word, the science is understanding. As the Christ is always the saver from its opposite. The understanding saves from belief. That's the standpoint here. Yes, that brings us to the next question, to the question which is at the point of science as Christianity. What could be science as Christianity if we wouldn't know really Mrs. Eddy's text already? If I have science, if I have understanding, what effect, Christianity, what effect would I get? The effect is always at the point of man and the universe. That's Christianity. So what she shows here, that if we have understanding, we have a new kind of man. So that understanding really constitutes man, the true man, the man of Christianity. So if we consider this, that understanding constitutes man, we understand also what Mrs. Eddy answers to the question which she has here, do the five corporeal senses constitute man? See, she asks from the negative point of view and say, what is the opposite of understanding? We have seen that. Can you see? First, at the point of science as the word, she first explained that we can get understanding not through the material senses, that the material senses themselves are not the means or the channel for understanding, that they are the very opposite of the mind faculties. So now she goes back here at this question and says, now, do those five physical senses constitute man? And as we have seen, the five physical senses are actually the false concept of mind faculties. We can say, no, it can't, because only the mind faculties constitute men. And in this way, she will answer now, it's one of the longest answers that she has, many pages. She has taken a lot of pain to do that, because again we come to a crucial aspect in Christian Science, namely, how can we really demonstrate men? Can we demonstrate men otherwise, but understanding, through understanding? Or is it so that what the world believes, that everyone is just as much a man as his five physical senses testify to him? Because if we take away the five physical senses, we are no more aware of man. Nobody can anymore be aware of man. So we have here a terrific point that wants to bring out that it is actually understanding that constitutes man, that man therefore must be understood through mind and mind's faculties, namely through mind's idea. So we will see she builds up the subject up to the climax at the end of the answer, just to show that actually man is nothing else but mind's idea. But in order to do that, we have to consider the whole text. But because it is a very long text, we are not going really to take it very deeply or in detail. The main thing is that we see the general trend of thought, and I can do that even better because last year in the syllabus class 3, I have taken this question in detail and have read it and interpreted it. So it's no use that I spend again about 2 hours it would take to read it and interpret it. Those who like to have that finer explanation still can refer back to the syllabus class 3, which is taped. So let us just consider here what Mrs. Eddy, in a big line of reasoning, tells us. And so we just go through those epitomes. She starts out again at the tone of mind. So we must not be really astounded that in most of these epitomes, from mind to love, we always have the recurring term, perhaps, of material sense or corporeal sense or the senses, which are usually an opposite of soul, but here they are meant as science versus senses. You remember that Mrs. Eddy gave that terrific talk one day in Chicago, science versus senses, and this indicates something that one has to see here. When we teach the synonymous terms, we naturally teach soul to be soul sense, spiritual understanding, spiritual sense. As therefore spiritual sense is an idea of soul, we teach that the very opposite, the counterfeit of it, of soul, is therefore the corporeal senses, the material senses. And so Mrs. Eddy uses the term corporeal sense and material sense very often as a counterfeit of soul. But I come to another category, namely, I come to the category that also material sense is the opposite of the category of science. Why? Well, we have seen that over and over now, that the material senses are those that testify wrongly. So how can we correct a false testimony of the physical senses? We don't correct it through soul. We correct the testimony of the physical senses also through science. Think, for instance, we have the testimony of the physical senses that the sun rises somewhere in the east and goes down in the west. Do we correct that through soul and say, but soul sense tells me that this is not so? You wouldn't. Huh? You would never dream of it. You would correct it through the sciences. You would say, yes, it looks like that, and every day it looks the same way. It has looked that same way over millions of years. But that which we explain what actually happens is the science of astronomy that would show us why it is not so. So it is an abstract idea that will correct it. It is an understanding of the science of the movement of the celestial bodies which will explain it, and not soul sense. Yes? So every time you are coming across material sense especially material sense, not so much corporeal sense. You come across the testimony of the material sense. You have to be careful to know in which way that term is used. If it's used actually as the material senses that testify, say, to the body, then that testify wrongly to the body, you will certainly use soul sense to correct it. But the moment it has to do with explaining what's going on in a science, then it is the opposite of science. So here we are in this question at the point of science reflecting Christianity. Therefore, science somehow must offset the incorrectness of the testimony of the material senses. Is that clear? And therefore, if in those epitomes so often material sense will appear, or physical sense will appear, this is not a counterfeit of soul, but it is much more the counterfeit of science. Again, we have said today various times, the moment we touch science, that actually material science, natural science, always wants to reduce everything to a point where everything can be measured according to the testimony of the material senses. Even that which is not seen, like electricity that is not seen, will be brought back to an instrument with a finger that indicates how much it is, and you can see it and you can read it, so that the eyes can testify to it. So we start all over again after I've said this, so that we are not misdirected by the term of the five senses. Here, the very first subject that Mrs. Eddy takes up is that the five senses are mortal beliefs. So again, you have beliefs, that's the counterfeit of understanding, we are in science. The mind faculties really constitute the real senses of men. We have seen that before when we had question 19, there already Mrs. Eddy started that way, that it is really mind, not matter, that has senses. Here again, do the five corporeal senses constitute men? We have, no, they don't. They are mortal beliefs, so that only the mind faculties can really testify truly to what we are. Then Mrs. Eddy calls to spirit and shows there is no reality in the sensation of matter. Again, sensation in matter, there is no reality. You have spirit as the only reality. Therefore, the material sense testimony do not testify to reality. We don't have to believe them. The senses of mind alone are real. And you have, again, a statement that leads us to the tone of spirit.